Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
If you ever wonder how doctors learn those wonderful skills that they show you in surgery, or they show just at the side of the road at an accident, or particularly with small children. Like, how do you learn to be a surgeon for a small child? How do you do it? And you'd wonder, do they have things like simulators, like a pilot, an airline pilot, learns in a simulator? They spend many, many hours in a simulator learning how to fly a plane. Would you believe there's something very like that? In fact, it's almost the same in medicine. Dr. Rory O'Brien is a consultant in paediatric emergency medicine. Rory, good morning to you.
Hi, PJ. Good morning.
Good to have you on the program. I think people would often have wondered that, like, how do you, and particularly you as a peds doctor, how do you learn to work with such tiny bodies? And it is simulation, isn't it?
Yeah, so that is certainly one of the ways we do learn. I mean, you learn by doing, don't you? I mean, much in the same way that children learn through play, you know, they don't learn from reading books or theorizing about things. They learn by doing, you know, by acting out various things. And it's much the same way, really, for doctors, nurses, allied health professionals, etc. We learn by essentially playing, but in a kind of a structured, kind of objectives-focused way.
So what kind of simulators are there? What kind of technology is used?
Yeah, so look, there's lots of different kinds of simulation modalities is kind of the term we'd use. So the most frequent one probably used in the hospital setting, which is where I work, you know, we would have kind of a mannequin, basically, and kind of like a big doll, essentially, that you can perform various procedures on. And there's various levels of mannequins that you can use depending on what you're trying to get out of the teaching session, more or less. And now there are task trainers. So, for example, for medical students or nurses learning how to put in do a blood test, for example, all the way up to doing lumbar punctures, or for anesthetists who are learning how to intubate, you know, place patients on ventilators. There's all sorts of mannequins for that, all the way through to, you know, augmented reality and virtual reality.
Wow. I mentioned things like the simulators that an airline pilot would train in. So let's take something like the ventilation. Now, you know, you watch a medical show on television, that looks like it takes about 5 seconds. You watch it actually being done in a proper emergency room. It's clearly a very, very skilled act. When you're learning that, does the machine tell you you're wrong? Does the machine tell you stop?
Yes, it's a good question, really. I think it depends on the machine, right? So the most important thing, really, are the people who are, you know, both the students are, you know, we're not just talking about students. I mean, I, as a consultant, I'm still learning, I'm still practicing with these things, but the person who's kind of taking part in the simulation and the person who we call who's facilitating the simulation, who's kind of trying to help that person through and making sure they hit all their milestones. We have fancy mannequins that can kind of give you actual feedback in much the same way as a patient can. However, they're quite expensive. So we find actually in the day-to-day, we can use quite simple mannequins and we can get pretty much the same kind of learning outcomes from those things.
Yeah, like I imagine in your own line of work a lot, you know, pediatric emergency, there's new techniques emerging all the time. So you'll read, for example, you'll read a research paper or you'll read something in a magazine like The Lancet, and then you'll see a demonstration and then you realize, right, I'm going to do that myself. How do you go from seeing a new technique in your field of work to actually doing it?
Yeah, I suppose it's a very good question. I mean, you need a content expert, I suppose, is the first. So there's two parts to it. You need someone who understands what you need to do. So let's say if it's a surgical procedure, you obviously need a surgeon who knows exactly what this new procedure or technique you're trying to do. But you also do need a person or a group of people who actually know how to formulate an appropriate teaching scenario. I suppose a huge thing with simulation, if you think about it, you're learning with your peers. So we all get a bit nervous, you know, if you're in a big group of people and you're with your peers, you get a bit nervous. You don't want to look like a fool, basically, in front of your peers. So it's kind of, how do you structure the session? How do you make it safe for everyone to actually learn and feel safe and open to trying new things? The real advantage of simulation really is that you can try things, you can push the boundaries a little bit more than perhaps you would feel comfortable doing in a patient where it's not safe to do it. So you can really try new things, you can experiment, much the same way as I was saying, as a child who's playing, they can experiment in much the same way that we can.
Yeah, I read a book many years ago, Rory, as listeners will tell you, I'm sick of telling people, I'm a kind of a frustrated medic in that if I hadn't been doing this job, it's what I might have ended up doing. And every doctor I know says, no, you don't want to be doing it. Anyway, I remember I read a wonderful book years ago by a fellow called Dr. Bill Nolan. He wrote a book about his own surgical training. And in that, he kept coming back to see one, do one, teach one. Do they do that still? Is it see one, do one, teach one?
I mean that's a relatively outdated
This is 20 years ago I read that book.
Idea, you know? Yeah, and I mean it's to some extent. And even if you go back further, it was medicine and doctors when they learned how to train and nursing and all those kind of craft groups, I suppose. It was very much an apprenticeship model where you just kind of followed and you absorbed it all in and you just learned by being there on the wards and treating patients. I think we're kind of moving into a space now where the paradigm has changed a little bit, where patient expectations are much like what you were saying before. You know, you don't want your pilot to be flying, you don't want to be on their first flight. You would have hoped that they would have gone through thousands of hours practicing in a simulator. I think the expectations now, and rightly so, from patients are, look, we demand better. I don't want you doing this for the first or the second time on me, please. At the very least, you should have got to a level of competency on some form of a simulator prior to going near me with a knife. Thanks very much.
Yeah. The last question you want to be asked by anybody is, have you done this before, doctor?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's used for education and for ongoing training. I mean, here you are, you're a consultant. You would still go back, if you like, go back to the lab or go back to the simulation and say, this is new. I've seen this happening in America. I've seen this happening in Australia. I want to learn to do it for myself. And there would be some kind of a simulation involved. You make, it's become competitive now, though. I read recently that there was a SimStars competition where teams from hospitals were tested against each other. Talk about that for a bit.
Sure. Look, everyone likes a bit of competition, you know, and there's no better way of getting people involved in something by just, you know, putting a little bit of a healthy dose of competition, I'd say. I'm actually simulation lead for the South Southwest Hospital Group, and I chaired a group that it's the second year running. It was initially founded by Professor John Cook. He works in University Hospital Waterford. It was done online last year, but it was the first year we did. It was a live event, and basically what we did is we opened it up to all people who worked in all the hospitals across, you know, Waterford, Cork, Kerry, Clonmel Hospital was there as well, and they kind of entered their scenario. So when you're creating let's say if you want to test how well a team works in a challenging case, and there's no better way of doing it than creating a scenario. So you almost like writing a play, I suppose. and you put the you put your candidates through it, and you just see how they go, and they can learn through, you know, through experimenting in that kind of structured play, I suppose. So they all entered their scenarios, and we picked the best five, and we had a great night out in Brookfield in the UCC Health Sciences Complex there last week, and a team from the hepatology team, their gastroenterology team from CUH won, and
has that line dropped on us there, Wayne? You're back, Rory.
Hello. Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, there. That's okay. Yeah, you had a couple of teams involved.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So, it was a great night out, and it was basically just to promote, how much fun and how much value you can get from simulation, really. So, yeah, had a great night.
One last thing, though, I can't help imagining that, you know, you do the simulation with, like you said, the mannequin, and you can do it perfectly on the mannequin and everything is. I imagine, Rory, that, again, even as an experienced consultant like your good self, the first time you go from mannequin to actual human being, is there a bit of sweaty palms there?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you care about your patient, if you care about your job, you're always going to be a bit nervous, and I think that's healthy. I mean, I think if you're feeling no nerves, there's probably something not right with you. I think as a patient, you'd hope that your clinicians, you know, that they care enough to get a bit apprehensive. They want to do a good job, but yeah, I mean, the whole point of training is that's lessened to a stage where it's actually a healthy amount of stress rather than unhealthy amount of stress. So that's the whole purpose of simulation, really, getting you to feel like you're battle ready.
And lastly, in terms of the technology involved, how advanced are we in say Cork, say somewhere like CUH?
I mean, CUH itself, to be fair, would need further investment to get us up to an international standard. But in saying that, in UCC, we have a centre called the Assert Centre, which really is a jewel in the crown, I would say, in terms of simulation. Even on a European level, it is fantastic, and there's lots of great staff and equipment in there. So a big part of my job really is trying to get people working in the hospitals around to get them into the Assert Centre and, you know, get to play with all the technology that's there. Mm.
I'd love to see that place. Rory, thank you so much for
being
with us.
You'd be more than welcome, PJ.
Yeah. Do you know what? I might well take you up on that. Dr. Rory O'Brien, who's a consultant in paediatric emergency medicine at CUH and also does some teaching in the Assert Centre. I have to see that. I have to see that place. I have to take a walk around that and see all the gear. Thank you, Rory.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.